Yeah. Actually, Esme is off tonight. Moose Miller in tonight. I'm glad that we're hanging out here together and looking forward to this hour as well. And Joe Kimball is joining us right now from the Minnesota Post. And they've been following pretty closely the Min Roast, the 10th annual Min Roast, which, man, that thing is coming up here on us because that is going to be this coming Friday, the 28th, at the beautiful historic State Theater. Good evening and welcome.
Thanks, Moose. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I wish I could snag a ticket to this thing because you got Al Franken, who's going to be a part of this, Senator Klobuchar, Governor Dayton. But I think a lot of people are really probably pretty excited that Senator Franken will be, warming up the writer chops and the performer chops once again.
You know, he's been in several years, many years, and he's so good at it. The word in Washington is that our funniest senator actually is Senator Klobuchar. I don't know if I should say that out loud, but she's really good, too.
What is it about this particular roast that just seems to bring such top-notch comedy entertainment to the table time and time again? I there have been other communities around the country that have tried this, and it doesn't seem to have the same amount of success that we do.
Well, that's a really good question. I think that, just in Minnesota, we have lots of great political junkies who want to get together and join with us on this. Plus, we've got, pretty sharp top government leaders who are willing to laugh with us and at us, and we with them. So that it all works out pretty well, and it's a really collegial and very funny night.
I don't really ever detect, though, that it's become super partisan. I hope that it doesn't turn into that. And, this is one of those years that you go, boy, it's been a pretty vitriolic election, and you wonder, how people are able to kind of keep that bridled back a little bit.
Well, with the governor and the two U.S. senators are both Democrats, but Tom Emmer will be there.
Yeah.
And Karen Housley from the legislature will be there. She's a Republican. So it is good to have both sides as best we can. And, everybody seems to get along pretty well. Even backstage, everybody's real good friends. I can vouch for that.
How do they pull this thing off? Because there are skits and some people even go so far as to produce up video shorts. There's a lot of prep that goes into this. And yet when I think of, our senators, they don't have the time to be showing up at rehearsals and stuff like that.
No, we don't. We won't see, the governor until Friday. We come a little bit early and run through it once. The senators are so good at speaking contemporaneously, and they work on their lines. But we really don't know how it's going to turn out until we're there on stage and hear it. So there's no behind the scenes. We're not pushing them one way or the other. They come up with this stuff themselves, and luckily they're able to really produce well for us and give everybody a real nice time.
Well, for people that were in the crowd in 2016, I mean, Ted Cruz was a guy that I think really got zinged quite a bit. Is Donald Trump going to be that pinata?
Well, I hate to give too much away, but I think that's a pretty fair assumption. He's dominating the news, and you take a poke where you can, I guess.
But then you've got somebody like Representative Emmer, who, comes and brings a very meaty, funny, entertaining monologue of his own that, you obviously expect that from Al Franken. But I think Emmer has certainly shown over the years, hey, man, I bring it as well.
That's right. He does. And it's pretty fun. I'm really looking forward to hearing him this year.
Now, how much of this stuff do you think will be focused on Washington versus events that have transpired here in Minnesota?
Well, I would say that we're really focus largely on Minnesota, you know, with the governor and the legislature, and then you know, things that are happening here. But you can't have a political event, a roast such as it is, without taking a look at Washington also.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are going to be some of the Minnesota headlines that are definitely going to be fair game, if you will?
Well, you may have heard that one of the liquor stores in town tried to open a little early on Sundays not too long ago. So we've got an item that'll kind of skewer that, I think, pretty well.
All right, and as far as any notable Minnesota celebrities?
Oh, you mean taking a shot at them?
Well, or just, you know, somebody that's kind of, you know, maybe put themselves out in the spotlight that, you know what, now you're fair game.
Well, Certix might fall under that category. And also, you know, we do have a nice thing with the governor to, you know, take a good, a funny look at him, too. I think that'll be a good one. We talk about development a little bit, some of the... maybe some people would say overdevelopment. You know, we kind of take a nice look at that also.
What? Overdevelopment? What are you talking about? Are you talking about downtown Minneapolis? What are you talking about?
Well, at least we got a stadium anyway. And that's coming in St.
Sure.
Paul, too.
Yeah, no kidding. And we really have just been going stadium crazy here between, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium. You've got the soccer venue that's going to be coming to St. Paul. It's... these are exciting times. It's, a lot of cranes and a lot of concrete.
That's right. And then, of course, you know, with the governor's not running again, and, you know, how many people are there lined up for that? And so we may have a little fun with that also, the large number of people thinking about wanting to be governor.
Joe Kimball is with us here on WCCO Radio. I'm Moose Miller sitting in tonight for Esme Murphy. We're talking about the 10th annual Min Roast, which is coming up this Friday, the 28th, at the beautiful Historic State Theater. And it basically features Minnesota politicians, celebrities. It's something that over 10 years, and I think you can really speak to this, Joe, has grown and evolved. Explain how this got started and what it's capable of doing today. I mean, when people buy, you know, tickets to this, you know, what all is happening with monies that are raised and things like that?
Well, sure. It goes back 10 years. And, you know, the first one, Lee Lynch, you know, the well-known public relations guy, pitched this to Joel and Lori Kramer, who founded MinPost 10 years ago. And he said, why don't we do something like this, kind of like the Gridiron Club in Washington or the Correspondents' Dinner? You know, let's take a shot at something like that. And Joel and Lori, 10 years ago, agreed to do that. They found out later that Lee had pitched this to many other organizations. We'd all, Lori said today, said they all wisely said no. but we did it, and it started out. There were 400 folks came to see the first one. It was at a hotel, and it's grown greatly over the years. And this year we'll have three times that many people. We're expecting 1,200 yeah. people to come to the State Theater. To see the show, to see not only politicians and celebrities and journalists kind of have fun with each other and laugh with and at each other.
Is there an opportunity, or have you folks at MinPost.com ever thought about, you know, you video this and then maybe rebroadcast it through MinPost or something along those lines?
Over the years, they have taken many of the skits or songs, and after the event, we'll show them so that you can stream some of it. So some of it is available now. I know my dad went back just the other day. He said, "I was just watching, you know, last year when you were in that thing." He said, "I'm sure you can do better this year," he said.
What is that like to be a part of something like this and watch this thing grow? Because you know, it really has grown into its own, and I'm you know, really excited about this year's lineup. But the last several years have been just tremendous. But it really has come into its own.
Yes, and one of the things that I've really seen over the years is it's really become, you know, more professional and better quality. You know, it started out, I actually sang a few things a few years ago, and now we've got really, you know, top-notch people from around the community who are involved. Wow. We even have a rap this year, and a rapper, a young guy who's really up-and-coming, DJ Friend, and he's doing what one of our opening numbers, and I got to tell you, listening to him do this rap, it just really was such a great feeling for me to hear it, someone who really knew what they were doing, as opposed to hearing it in my head, because he just makes it come, and it's going to be really a showstopper.
Tell me about Bizarre Foods host Andrew Zimmer, and he's going to be a part of Min Roast 2017.
He wrote a song, and it's very, very funny. I heard it today. We had a rehearsal today. Your old friend Brian Turner, BT, is he's got several of the songs that he's going to be singing, and he really sells them. I got to tell you, today he did one of them, and I thought, boy, this is really going to be good.
What can you tease us a little bit about what Governor Dayton may be doing?
I don't know what he's going to say. Last year, for folks who were there, his sons did a video of him that kind of opened the show. And the premise of it was that when he was done being governor, he would need a job. And the sons run the restaurant in Minneapolis. And they said, well, let's try to get him some work here, you know, something to do. We got to keep Dad busy after he's done being governor. So they tried him out at different jobs there serving people or cooking. And every time, he'd start talking to people when they'd come into the restaurant and talking about politics instead of seating them correctly. And it was just a hoot. So I don't know what he's going to say this year. He's getting to the
end
of the
Is it going to be another video?
This won't be a video today. This year with him, he'll be brought out in quite a grand fashion onto the stage, and then what he says, we don't know yet, but I'm sure it'll be good.
Interesting. Well, I really hope you guys will be able to repurpose a lot of video from this thing this coming Friday night and be able to run it.
I think people will be able to see it. Then, of course, you know, things are crazy in Washington, so we're keeping a close eye on that with, the senators. We got the shutdown talks coming this weekend, next week.
Yeah.
Too, so we're just keeping an eye on things there.
Well, Al Franken will be funny.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you.
Yeah.
He comes from St. Louis Park, and, you know, he has that unique way of talking, and... I've always enjoyed, he's able to filibuster out a monologue at just like nobody.
He's really something. You know, he kind of kept it under wraps there his first term, because he didn't want people to think of him as the Saturday Night Live guy. They wanted
as a comedian, sure.
Right,
and you know what? He's done a really great job of just, you know, doing instead of talking about stuff. He's a doer, and that's been very, very evident.
He's always a treat no matter what he does.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Tickets still available here at the very end?
Yep, they still are available, and minroast.com. People can learn more about it and see some of the names of people who are going to be there, and really, I've always thought, everyone who's ever gone has told me that they were so glad they went. Really enjoyed it, had a great time. And it's a good cause. MinPost covers lots of the stories that the other media just aren't able to do with the day-to-day demands. We try to give some perspective to the news and look at the big picture whenever we can.
I would say you guys provide a lot of context and a lot of background.
That's the goal.
Well, you can learn more by going to minpost.com. And like I said, I would imagine following this, you'll probably have some video and stuff that pops up. And they usually run clips, in the weekend newscasts as well. And I know Esme does on the Sunday show, grab stuff from this from time to time.
That'd be nice.
It's always a great time. Hey, Joe, thanks for joining us here on a Saturday night. Really special.
Thanks, Moose.
You got it. Joe Kimble, Minnesota Post staff writer and freelancer and comedy participant for the 10th annual Men Roast, which is coming up this Friday at the beautiful, historic State Theater. Absolutely love that event. It's a great get-together. We will continue on here with the Esme Murphy Show on 830 WCCO on this Saturday night. Coming up at 7:35, Dr. Carla Schwartz is going to join us. She's a physician with Fairview Health System and, just as importantly and probably more importantly, a volunteer doctor at St. Mary's Health Clinics, part of a staff of more than 270 volunteer physicians and healthcare workers that are there for the poor that don't have healthcare. And with all the talk that's going on these days in Washington, what's going through her mind these days? And maybe more importantly, what can you and I do to help that particular cause? We'll find out coming up here at 7:35 on WCCO. Moose Miller in tonight for Esme Murphy on WCCO. Well, earlier today, the Blues beat the Wild in overtime 4-3, so that's 4-1. And that will end it for the Wild in the NHL. The Raptors and the Bucks played earlier today as well, and it was the Raptors getting the better of the Bucks, who were home at the BMO Harris Bradley Center in Milwaukee. Toronto wins that one 87-76, so they're now tied up at 2 games apiece in that particular playoff series. I found this kind of interesting from our friends at Food and Wine. What the rest of the world thinks about our food and our wine and our other accoutrements that go with finer dining. Hershey's chocolate. Around the world, they're not digging it. In some circles, the Hershey bar is compared to vomit. Why would that be? They claim around different parts of the world that to their palates, it tastes like vomit because it contains butyric acid, which is also in sour yogurt and Parmesan cheese. And now that you think about it, okay, I guess I can see that. Speaking of cheese, canned or processed cheeses do not go over well in other parts of the world. Don't even bring up Cheese Whiz, okay? And Velveeta. No, they're just not going to have it, okay? And for foreigners, and maybe you've had people that have come over and visited, when they try our fast food, they find it incredibly salty, especially KFC. And I got to say, when I was over in London and when I was over in Paris a couple of years ago, you really do notice fresher ingredients are used there. Yes, you have a lot of little fast food joints that are a lot of joints as well. But when you eat out for the most part, you can really seem to taste the difference. Also, apparently we use way too much sugar. You know, when it comes to our cakes and pastries, even our breads, according to some palates from foreigners, are way too sweet. Grocery store sheet cakes were mentioned as way over the top sweet. And when you order a soft drink here in the U.S., but I think we all agree with this, way too much ice. In other parts of the world, you have to ask for ice. You know, when you order a soft drink, you get a soft drink. You want the ice, you ask for that. Here it's like, you know, hey, I guess I got a couple of ice and an eyedropper of soda. Great. Thank you so much.
Moose, can I comment real quick on that specific topic?
Please.
If I can interject myself into any other conversation that goes on. I agree with that assessment that when you get a soft drink at a fast food place, we usually put too much ice. We might put 3 cups, half a cup three quarters of a cup of ice into our soft drinks. And I thought about that and I said, number one, why? Because it takes up room from the soft drink. Number two,
right.
If you get your drink to, if you don't drink it right away and you get it to a refrigerator fairly soon, it'll still stay cold. So I don't get ice in my soft drinks anymore.
Yeah, I usually ask for no ice as well because I don't want to pay for ice. I want to pay for the beverage.
Right. Now at let's say drinking establishments, it's a little bit different. But when I go out to any sort of fast food place and I'm glad they just give you the cup now instead of having someone make the drink for you. I just go over to the self-serve machine. I just don't get ice in it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I might have a couple of cubes that pop in, but yeah, I'm just not a big ice person in a drink. But for some reason, that is a very American thing. You are listening to the Esme Murphy Show here on 830 WCCO on this Saturday night. I'm Moose Miller at 7:31. We'll check some weather, and when we come back, Dr. Carla Schwartz is going to join us, a physician with Fairview Health System and a volunteer doctor at St. Mary's Health Clinics, which, man, I'm telling you what, they are on the front lines of providing health care for the working poor. Those clinics are staffed by more than 270 volunteer physicians and healthcare workers. We're going to learn a little bit more about their world coming up here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Moose Miller in tonight for Esme Murphy on WCCO. What a gorgeous night here in Minnesota, man. We'll take this. 68 degrees right now. Wish I had better news when it comes to our Wild. In overtime, they lost to the Blues 4-3, so that's 4-1. So the Blues move on, and the Wild are done. The Raptors beat the Bucks 87-76. And I know, J-Lo, you were just following the wrap-up here of the Atlanta game, right?
Yes. The second final of the day for the NBA playoffs, game three of this series, Atlanta beats Washington 116-98. So that series is now 2-1. Washington still ahead. Game four, I believe, is going to be Tuesday night. I'll have to check the schedule on that. But the NBA is a little bit different than the NHL. They don't play every other night consistently like the NHL does. Yeah. A couple of quick updates. It's in the late in the first quarter in Memphis. San Antonio leads Memphis in the NBA 26-21. The Spurs are up 2-1 in that series. On the ice, Montreal and New York, the Rangers, they're playing game six of their series. It's midway through the first. The Canadiens have a 1-0 lead at Madison Square Garden.
And we'll stay on top of that for you and keep you updated throughout the night here on WCCO Radio. Right now, though, we want to welcome into the conversation Dr. Carla Schwartz, who is a physician with Fairview Health System, and I say, more importantly, a volunteer doctor at St. Mary's Health Clinics. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us about St. Mary's Health Clinics, because this is kind of, I think, the front lines and probably the last resort for the working poor when it comes to health care.
That's correct. So St. Mary's Health Clinics provides health care services to low-income, uninsured individuals and families in seven metro clinics for the last 25 years. So we're really trying to provide a safety net for the unmet and increasing health care needs of the uninsured working poor.
I don't know about you, but I'm not real encouraged if we're going to be, you know, heading down a path where we're going to be taking away, you know, the healthcare safety net for a good number of people and turning around and saying, but now you can buy affordable healthcare. Well, yeah, but what does it cover?
Correct. We, with the proposed changes for the Affordable Care Act, along with certainly other policy changes, it's going to continue to affect the demographic that turned to St. Mary's for help. So we still feel strongly that what we're trying to provide is going to continue to be important and needed.
Well, I guess I'm a little too close to this whole story and argument. I have a brother who's an ER doctor, and as I've followed, you know, the healthcare debate and argument over the decades now, when you really look at, okay, if you spend a dollar now on preventative care, you're going to save yourself hundreds of dollars down the road. And those hundreds of dollars get spent in situations where people might not have insurance, and then that falls on you and me, the taxpayer.
Absolutely. I feel strongly about preventative care. And, you know, the majority of the patients that I see at St. Mary's right now are diabetics. And
yeah.
if I can see them in a primary care setting, providing meds and teaching and talking about blood pressure, I want to do that in a clinic setting. I certainly don't want people feeling like they have to go to an emergency room for something like that. Like you said, this is going to save healthcare dollars tremendously.
Well, from what I remember in my medical parlance, you end up pushing, diabetes is a great example. You end up creating a situation that turns to what I think you doctors call acute. You got to deal with it now. And it's exploding. And, you know, now we're going to be running tests that cost tens of thousands of dollars. And, and maybe somebody's let their diabetes run to the point where now the care is tens of thousands of dollars, where if we would have spent a couple hundred dollars 5 years ago, we could have prevented a lot of this.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to prevent complications. There's so many things we can do with much less health cost if we just can see patients, have the resources for the primary care and the prevention. You know, when we see patients come in, they might be there for diabetes or a blood pressure recheck, but we're also checking in, have they had their colon cancer screening and their mammograms, and we're trying to capture all the prevention as well.
Well, I don't understand, you know, how we got to a mentality of let's not spend a dollar now so that we can spend $10,000 that, like I said, gets pushed off on the taxpayer when it could have been more wisely spent earlier on in the whole journey of someone's healthcare odyssey.
Absolutely. And that's what St. Mary's has been doing, is trying to capture some of those patients who are working so hard to just kind of, you know, keep their heads water. We want to do whatever we can to provide them with those kind of basic human healthcare needs that every human deserves.
Well, let's focus in on diabetes, because I know you guys do have a program that focuses in on that. And it is such a huge and growing problem in this country. And yet I'm encouraged when you look at, you know, all the attacks that came down on the city of New York, the nanny city. Well, guess what? When they cut back on these trans fats, it had a noticeable pronounced effect when it came to heart attacks and heart disease.
Yeah, St. Mary's has a wonderful diabetes education program where we have nurses and nutritionists. And so when I'm seeing somebody, hearing their story, finding out how they're feeling, not only are we doing labs and refilling medication, but we've got immediate teaching about what are you eating? What are the barriers to eating healthy foods, because healthy foods aren't always cheap. So this program with St. Mary's is just, it's been wonderful. And we can try to really focus in on each patient or their family and just what is the one or two items we can hit on that day that could make a difference until the next time we see them. So it's a great program.
Well, And education with things just like simple exercise. And if people would have intervened in their own lives earlier, they could have prevented, you know, the onslaught of, you know, where diabetes really starts to overrun and overtake you. And I feel so bad when I sometimes look around and see people that have the, you know, those lower legs with the, you know, the really red and purple kind of coloration coming up from the ankles and lower. And that's somebody who, you know, their diabetes is really starting to overrun them.
Right. And if we can empower people, even small changes or even taking a few minutes a day to walk and do any amount of activity and helping them realize that there is time, or they do have what it takes to do that. I think even that is incredibly important.
We're visiting here on WCCO Radio here on the Esme Murphy Show with Dr. Carla Schwartz. She is a physician from Fairview Health System and a volunteer doctor at St. Mary's Health Clinics. How do you guys keep St. Mary's Health Clinics going with these programs? How does that work when you're, you know, providing health care for the poor?
So we have an amazing amount of volunteers. I think there's about 270 of us. So it's volunteer doctors, nurses, drivers, interpreters, administrative staff. So these are just amazing people to work with. And then what we have coming up is the Carondelet Gala. That is a fundraiser to try to kind of cover some of the costs to keep us operating and keep our clinics open.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so blown away by folks like yourself, because especially people that are working their way up now through medicine, and when you look at the amount of debt that can be accrued and racked up for, you know, doctors and nursing programs, and yet you find time out of your week to participate in this. And, you know, and I know you're cranking it on the other end of the candle.
It's true that medicine is a challenging profession to be in at times, but I feel so strongly that healthcare is a basic human right, and this is just my small part of trying to make a difference and show that I care about this. And St. Mary's, I'm just so grateful for all the volunteers, and certainly the Sisters of St. Joseph for having this program available.
When you think of, you know, St. Mary's, you also, though, I think have to consider that a lot of this can be, you know, emergency care for people that, you know, if, like we'd said earlier, if they just could have gotten a little bit more preventative care, they wouldn't be in an ER situation, because that's when things get expensive.
Correct. And so when I'm in my clinic setting, it is a planned visit. These are patients now have to use St. Mary's as kind of their healthcare home, because there's not always any other options. So I no longer am necessarily seeing it as urgent care or acute care, because now I'm seeing repetitive patients come back. And that's what needs to happen. There's always going to be people who don't have the availability to get to a clinic like ours, or there's, you know, our demand is beyond what we can offer. So we want to try to do whatever we can to get the resources we need to keep these clinics open.
Well, if somebody can't attend this gala get together, but they'd like to help, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so if you could go to our website, which is csjministriesfoundation.org, and there's you can click on the information about the gala, and certainly provide donations on the website. And again, it's just, not only am I passionate about St. Mary's Health Clinics, but I'm so grateful to the Sisters of St. Joseph who have, you know, for many, many years provided good things for justice and healthcare and education, and so I'm grateful to them.
I'm reading here 1 in 20 people, or, you know, over 200,000 people are still uninsured, according to the latest numbers that you guys kind of see and deal with day-to-day.
I know, in Minnesota, that is true. That is the number isn't that amazing still? I mean, that's still a huge number. And so, again, we still, even for what St. Mary's is able to provide, we have far too many uninsured individuals in our state and in our country.
Well, and sadly, you know, there are families and people that through no fault of their own, but just sadly in the genetic lottery of life, they ended up getting dealt some really bad, crummy cards. and they're forced
absolutely
to play them. And
people's journeys. I mean, you have a plan that you think how life is going to be, and we all know that in situations that you can't control, things change quickly. And you know, in a household, if you have one person who's all of a sudden sick or diagnosed with a new diagnosis, I mean, that's going to affect the entire family. And of course, we want to try to keep a person healthy so that the family is healthy, keep the schools healthy, keep our communities healthy. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And I mean, if we can keep our communities physically and mentally healthy, it's going to be better for all of us.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week ahead here with regard to, you know, what the Republican Party thinks it can cobble together for another run at, repeal and replace or who knows what. But there's a lot of people that are enjoying the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. And I think it's been way overblown to say that it is cratering and self-destructing. It's got its problems, but so did this thing called Social Security when we started that a while back. So
yes, where there's plenty of challenges. There's no dull moments in healthcare. We are all well aware of that.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good fight, Dr. Schwartz. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
I'm Moose Miller, sitting in tonight for Esme Murphy on WCCO. Saturday night in CCO land. Well, earlier it was the Hawks and the Wizards, which now Washington leads that series 2-1 as the Hawks ended up grabbing one, 116-98. And Memphis is playing right now as we speak, right?
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Moose.
The Grizzlies are playing right now as we speak, right?
Yes. So we are late, actually midway through the second quarter, and Memphis is actually slung ahead. They are now leading 37-30 over San Antonio, or 31, excuse me. And if Memphis wins this game, they will even the series at 2, something that was quite unexpected after the first two games in San Antonio.
Sure.
As we look at the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, Montreal and New York, they are in the last minute of the first period at Madison Square Garden. The Canadiens still holding a 1-0 lead over the Rangers.
And it was earlier today where the Blues beat the Wild in overtime 4-3, so they take that series 4-1.
AKA Mike Yo's revenge.
Well, it puts the end or exclamation point on the end for the Wild. And the Raptors and the Bucks went at it earlier today, too. And Toronto takes this one from Milwaukee in Milwaukee at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center, 87-76. This is after that thrashing in Game 3 where the Bucks just beat up on the Raptors and never looked back. I think they opened up like a 17-point lead in the first quarter. But that was not to be the case tonight in this fourth game. So now that's tied at 2-apiece. So we're following a lot this evening here on WCCO Radio for you. I am not a Snapchatter, and I was just talking to Jonathan about this. He is not a Snapchatter as well. But, man, I'll tell you what, I think Snapchat, didn't they go for like $1 billion on a IPO or something like that, or a sale just recently for this particular app?
They went for a ton of money. All I know is they went for a ton of money.
Well, most millennials prefer Snapchat to Instagram, which I was like, oh, really? Because I thought Instagram was more popular. But a new survey, but I'm not a millennial, says that they prefer Snapchat stories over Instagram. In several polls, 78% say that they say it's their preferred narrative platform, if you will. That has decreased a little bit from 88% 4 months ago, who said that Snapchat was their preferred pick. So maybe Instagram is making some inroads back in. Either way, it's just not something that seems to grab my world, but it's one of those apps out there that seem to have caught the eye and buzz of Wall Street for sure. We'll check CBS World and national news for you coming up here in just moments on 830 WCCO.